All right, and we are here. And this beautiful crystal that we have spoken about earlier, that when the time comes that we're going to do a meditation, we hope that one of you, whoever gets here first, of course, will hold it during the meditation. Interesting things may happen. All right. All right, this is the part of our sharing in which you get to ask us a question and we get to interact with you and speak with you about whatever is of concern to you. And just from the spin of this particular evening, everything that's going on in your life, if you look at it, can be seen from a perspective of energy flow. Yeah, sometimes you think maybe I'm missing some of the details, but even the details will ultimately, if you examine them, you'll find that there's an energy flow, there's a resistance, there's a feedback mechanism that goes on with this. Because any time that you give and any time that you receive, of course you're receiving feedback from your illusion. This feedback is always a reflection of what you're thinking, feeling, doing, believing, knowing, desiring, etc. You're always getting feedback on how it's going. And so you're always giving of yourself and receiving of yourself. So it's a quite exciting process to discover who you are, detail by detail, and big chunk by big chunk as well. So Daniel's got the microphone there, and he will present it to someone. So whoever wants to ask a question, if you would raise your hand, and he will pick someone out.
It's Henry.
Hello.
Hi. I'm on fire tonight. I'm so glad I'm here. I have a series of little pieces to this question. I'm a 9 personality drive, and sometimes I feel a little neglected up there because
up we there?
Way up there. Well, I mean, just in terms of it being at the top of the
internet. You're at the top of this diagram,
the symbol, right?
So you're actually up on a mountain there, up there.
Well,
okay.
But
lonely at the top, yes?
Definitely letting more energy flow, yes. So what I mean by that is that we talk about, it seems like we talk a lot about emotions and about thinking. But mm-hmm. the idea of feeling, mm-hmm. As opposed to emotion, seems to get over, you know, not talked about a lot. That's
yes.
been my experience when I listen to various people like Alexis or Lazarus talk. So I'm body based, and so I learn a lot through energy moving through my body, and I've been working a lot on that in the last year or so, March to March, basically. One of the suggestions last year for March was to work with the chakras. And it kind of culminated for me tonight because the work that you did, I moved 2 issues tonight that I've been working on for a year. They just moved. They just changed. And the way that I perceive it is that I just didn't have that piece of personifying something and then just letting it move through me and past me as a way to move that energy. I know very clearly where the resistances are. My hips get tight. My shoulders get tight. I'm one of those people that uses so much energy to hold back energy that
yes.
I really relate to what you're talking about. So I moved 2 things tonight that I'm like, wow, those are gone. Like, I've had experiences of this on my own, of moving things and then being gone, and I'm always amazed by they're just gone once they're gone. But what I wanted to ask about it, it's something I'm looking at right now, is that, so you get this light flowing in, and then everything ebbs and flows. So I feel like the light energy coming in is like, I breathe that in, or I breathe it out. And the counterpoint to that in a duality for me is the dark. So maybe the dark's not as nice to look at, or it's out there. So tonight we took something dark and we took the judgment off it. We brought it through. So I moved some of that dark energy. And then we brought the light energy in. And the tendency was to, I'm going to keep that light energy in me. But in the same way, what I'm experiencing is to let Galexis into my life more. I need to breathe that through me and move that through me so that I can receive more of who you are in my reality. And so tonight that sort of shifted for me. So I feel more intimate with your gifts and energies and light.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is an honor for us to be able to let you receive us. It's just beautiful. We enjoy that very much.
So where my question is how to look at and how to watch that transition point that comes when I've expanded as much as I can, and then comes in some doubts or some judgments or something where I start to shift into some darker energy, but just to breathe through that. So is there even a question? Are you hearing the question there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, we're going to approach this kinesthetically because you are a kinesthetic-oriented person, right? When you work with energy and you're a person who senses, you know, you grok it, you get it. Your body gets it. You commune and know through your body. Now, everyone has that, but you in particular find that works most harmoniously to your system. When you are in that situation of being a 9 personality drive and a kinesthetic, there is a tendency when you're dealing with the difficulties or the issue part of that particular orientation as the peacemaker, that you fragment some of your energies. When you feel uncomfortable with certain parts of yourself, you can dissociate them from you energetically. Or you can stash them in places behind you or wherever it is in your energy field so you don't perceive them directly. You understand what we're saying, yes?
Yes.
All right. Now, what you were talking about is like doubts and all these things that when in the past you would get to a certain place of flow and things would be flowing, that when those things would show up, those would generally be the indications to you that the energy flow was getting blocked and twisted again, yes?
Yes.
All right. And what we want to say here is what's happening there is that you're becoming aware that you have a dissociation, that there's something that you pushed away that you weren't really looking at, and therefore you didn't include in your energy flow. So if you have a doubt, for example, you want to include that in your energy flow and get the energy moving, because the doubt is a resistance energy. The doubt says, wait a minute. Are you sure? Can you really, is this possible? That kind of thing. And so it is a resistance energy. And we want to point out that your knowing, in a sense, has been dissociated from you. And so at the time that that happens, doubt, of course, can be seen as a very positive. And we want to once again repeat that just because an energy seems to be negative or difficult is not to judge it. In other words, you can call that a dark energy, but there is a beautiful, beautiful darkness as well, right? And it's important for you to be able to own and hold the beautiful darkness. But your personality drive required, in a sense, for you to function in this physical plane world in a system that was very linear and not really natural to you. You had to make certain adjustments. You had to split off certain pieces of yourself. And so when you are getting your energy flowing, we would suggest that at that point, you begin to get a little anxious. You know what we're talking about, right? It's, you get it all really flowing. Hey, feeling really great. I'm on top of the world. But wait a minute. I'm on top of the world. How long is this going to last? How am I going to be able to keep it up? That kind of energy comes in. Yes?
Yes.
All right. What you want to do when that energy comes up is to realize that you are, by your imagination, remembering your story. All right. Your story is that you get yourself really flowing, and then somehow or another you snag yourself up and you stumble over yourself. That's just part of your story, yes? That you resist and something happens.
I mean, the way I would illustrate it now is the economy's in some places in shambles, and yet my reality is still pretty, it's still solid. It's not pretty solid, it's still solid. And I'm like, well, am I in denial here about something, or can I just continue to go along and things are working well? Or, is this, am I in denial?
Right.
Like, is there something I'm not looking at here in the energy that...
Well, see, what it is, it's the invitation. When that thought comes up, is the invitation for you to bring in, as an opportunity, to bring in more parts of yourself back into integration with you. And therefore, continue your expansion, right? Because you see, what you want to do is any time that you expand your self-image is out there and things are going good, it's really important for you to keep that self-image in a process of expansion. Because you just don't sit there. All right? And so there's a part of you that's afraid if you sit there, something wrong may happen. You have to be vigilant. You have to stay on top of everything. You have to keep watching and looking because you're not safe. You understand? There's a feeling of that. It's here I am flying, it might not be safe. You're always, in a sense, suspecting there's something that you're not seeing or not knowing. And that's because you needed to, for survival purposes, put certain awarenesses and hide them behind you or hide them somewhere or dissociate yourself from them. Because at that time in your past, those pieces had too much knowing in them. It's the same thing as a person who's psychic and they're just naturally that way, and that's most of you here. And you are in conversation with someone who's not on a spiritual growth experience like you are, and the person says stuff, and you know that the person really is somewhere else, that the person really is feeling and coming from another place than what they're saying. What's your dilemma? Is how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond to what they're really going through that you can pick up? Or are you going to respond to what they're saying, which is what they obviously expect you to do? Do you understand what we're saying?
Yeah, you've talked to me about that before. That,
right.
I pick up the two different things.
You pick up both of them, yeah. And it puts you into paralysis. And in the past, the way for you to deal with this is to deny your knowing. So you could get along, so you could, maneuver okay.
Yeah, now I'm more often
now,
not asking that difficult question, like, what's that? What's that you're not saying there? And they get quiet, and it tends to shift people.
It does. Yeah. It does. Because you're integrated that piece in. Now we would suggest there are other pieces to integrate in. All right? So that you can continue expanding. Because if you sit where you are, you're going to get uncomfortable after a while. You don't ever stay in one place. Energy just never comes to a point and stops. It's like, are we there yet? You're never there yet. You're always going somewhere. You're always moving somewhere. So when you have those doubts, you know that you're thinking that it's not moving. And when you're growing and working on some issue or something or breaking something down or developing some skill or whatever, you feel like you're moving. So instead of doing it through, I've got to learn and I've got to watch on top of everything and I've got to be on top of everything and watch all these corks. I got all these corks in the water and I got to hold them down under the water all at the same time. And as soon as I hold this one down, this one pops up. Oh, my gosh, I've got to go over and fix this one now. And in a sense, if you have that kind of energy in there, that kind of orientation in there, you will never feel safe. You'll never be able to get into your flow and revel in it, right? So when doubts come up, recognize that that's the message as feedback from your reality to pull in more aspects of yourself, pull in more aspects of your knowing. What do you know about yourself? And if you feel you want to know more about yourself, then claim that. You know, the opportunity right there is that when there's a doubt is for you to step into your power, to step into the majesty of yourself, to reclaim and re-own yourself as a divine being of light, having a physical experience as a powerful reality creator. And you step into that experience. And then you bring that into yourself, you see? Then go, okay, any messages? You understand?
Well, tonight when you started talking about how we might feel after you cleared the energy,
mm-hmm.
I was feeling really disorientated.
Like that's
I was
right.
Really like I'd taken off a, I want to use the word girdle, and mm-hmm. I just kind of went, like I relaxed. I took off this layer of something that was crimping me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm now, when you say the corks in the water, I'm seeing myself taking, well, what's that cork about and maybe sucking that through me and mm-hmm. behind me.
Right,
and
but you see, by doing that, you're trying to get yourself back into some sense of order. Okay? Because for you, order has been the way that you've maintained a certain safety of boundaries. But you see, as a nine, you can, and this is perhaps scary for a lot of people, you can, in a sense, expand boundaries and they can be quite amorphous. And you can be quite safe at the same time. Because a peacemaker has this capacity to really be all, be everything. To be inclusive with everything. And to integrate the oneness. And so, of course, the journey to the oneness, which is essentially what everyone is doing in one way or another, for the nine in particular, for a peacemaker person like yourself, is this connection with everything and recognizing you're totally safe with it. So you don't have to go into the vigilance mode. Oh, now I've got to get back into order where it's safe, where it's familiar, where I sense a sense of connection to my plan, you know? Well, think about it. When you were, what, 21, 22, you probably dreamed up and fantasized your plan. This is what my life is going to be. This is what I'm the adult I'm going to be. I'm going to have this type of relationship. We're going to live in this type of place. And we're going to do this kind of work. And we're going to be have this amount of money. We're going to travel. Or we're going to do this or that or the other. All the lifestyle fantasies and so forth. They come in the early 20s. You see. And the thing is that when you have those, then, you see, it seems realistic to you. But when you're, you know, you've gone through a lot of exploration and learning, you don't want to have this kind of the fear of the naivete of the self that you once were involved in where you are now. You don't, in other words, you don't have to go and dismantle that self over and over and over again. Do you understand that?
Not quite, but
all right. You don't have to go and dismantle the you that's wandering around, you know, exploring all the limit, you know, the unlimited boundaries, exploring and touching and tasting everything of life. You don't have to go and take them apart so that you can have a sense of order, so you can also connect with that plan that you made then. The plan that told you how you're going to be successful when you were 30 and 40. Do you remember that plan? Remember that vision?
Sure.
All right. But you see, you can still measure yourself that way. And so what you want to do is to own the greater part of you and just bring that greater part of you in. You don't have to go back and check what's wrong or find out what's missing. But when you own the greater part of you, you'll find what piece to integrate. And as you integrate a piece into you, you go, okay, you know, I have a doubt. Okay, where's some more knowing? I'm going to balance it out. Where's some knowing? Or I have a worry. I have a fear that I may have missed something. Okay, all right, so your performance might not be perfect. You might not be perfect. Oh, okay, so what piece of you shall you integrate there? The part of you who owns that you're in mastery, or that you can dream something different and something new. Don't go back to the tried and true. Don't try to go back and because what happens is that you try to find out what's wrong or what's missing or what needs to be adjusted or what needs to be toned, and what you might be missing is an implication. It's a judgment of yourself that you're not really complete enough, that you might be hiding something from yourself because you did in the past. So you want to just pull something out. If you pull anything out, it'll probably be correct. Just pull anything that you want to integrate into yourself. Okay, I want to integrate more power. Okay, pull power to yourself. It doesn't matter what you pull in, just something really good and juicy. You understand?
Yes, sounds like fun.
It's like so much easier, right? Instead of going around saying, okay, I probably have missed something. Let's see. I've got to go back. Back being the key word. I've got to go back and check and see all the... I've got to go play in the darkness and see what piece of the darkness haven't I fixed yet. And where's your attention going? Your attention is going to the painful stuff or the scary stuff. Your attention's going back to your issue. Your kick-ass issue. We call it the kick-ass issue. It's your commission of challenge. It's the place that you normally utilize to get the most personal growth out of. And you'll go back to it over and over again. But you see, dear one, when you get beyond your issue, it becomes only a theme that you've blazed a trail of. Right? If there's an inadequacy or an anxiety tendency, you know, you've blazed a trail on how to heal that and how to step beyond that. So the point is to realize, how do you respond to success? There is fear of success, you see. And most people who have the fear of success, their self-image is that this might be beyond me. It might be too good, you see. And so what's the self-image implication in that? If it's this good, I'm missing something. Sounds like one of the Murphy laws, you know? But you see, since your strategy had been to fragment, that's the tendency for you to go, is to find out, well, what piece did I not do? And so we'd say, integrate, bring something in to integrate yourself, bring yourself into a greater sense of union, and that'll take care of that. Okay?
Thank you.
It's so much easier, too. Because you don't want to go back and think about that and go back over all your dark places that are painful and limiting, so that you can move forward into positive and beautiful experiences with light and dark. And you won't be afraid of it anymore. Most people are afraid of the dark. Think about it. What you think is the dark energy, you know, it's scary for most people. But when you know you're safe, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. And then you can embrace the darkness, because in the darkness, in the healthy darkness, is a sense of depth. There's a sense of magic and mystery within yourself that you can just tap into. Tremendous resource of power and mastery is in your own darkness. Because when you understand your own powerful darkness, you're never afraid of the quote-unquote evil darkness anymore. And then you basically know what's going on pretty much all the time. All right, thank you, dear one. All right, so who's next?
Hi, Alexis, it's Connie.
All right.
I've been doing something rather unusual for me lately. An old story of mine has been that I'm very shy and haven't talked to a lot of people, haven't extended myself, and I've been pushing that boundary a lot in the last at least year, a lot more. And the unusual thing that I'm doing now is I've entered a kind of virtual world through the computer and meeting people that way, which is very odd for me because, you know, normally just talking to anybody has freaked me out. But I'm finding that I'm using my intuition. I'm practicing using my intuition, like who is a good person that I would like to feel that I could open up conversation with and who not, and all of that. And concomitant with that is sensation, which really surprises me because, I mean, normally these are kinds of feelings and sensations that I feel when I'm talking with people directly who are physically in front of me, present. Mm-hmm. And to have these kinds of sensations when they're in Rhode Island, when they're in England, when they're in Singapore, is very unusual. And it's kind of throwing me for a loop. And one in particular, developing a certain amount of rapport. And so the sensation I'm feeling is a lot of warmth in my heart. And it's confusing to me because I don't know if I'm projecting. Like, is that my own feelings that I'm just projecting and I'm making it up thinking that, you know, I can feel this other person? Or am I really connecting with this other person? What is this energy that I'm feeling in my body, in my heart? And I want to keep it in a certain sense of balance and perspective so that I don't get, you know, go off into places that aren't useful.
All right. Well, look at what you're learning. You're learning about reality and illusion, aren't you?
Absolutely.
All right. And that you're blurring the boundaries between reality and illusion.
Right.
And you know what this is going to lead to is a greater mastery of yourself as a spiritual being, greater capacities for magic and miracles in your life, right? Because you're able to open up at a thought with a concept to a real experience within you.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Now, if you notice, this is just a formalized way of approaching the world.
Yes.
And if you notice, and we're certain you have, that what you consider your quote-unquote real life is becoming more illusory.
Absolutely. It's helping me blur those boundaries.
Exactly.
So I see it the same way.
This is so important.
Right.
And it's such a gift. Mm-hmm. For you to realize that what you feel and what you know and what you're experiencing is as close to what you can have as real in the illusion as there is.
Yes.
And so it doesn't matter how the reflection comes to you. All right? It doesn't matter how the reflection comes to you.
Oh, I see. What vehicle it comes
through. What vehicle,
yeah,
what form it comes through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're still experiencing. Mm-hmm. So experiencing personal depth, personal emotion, that is as real as anything you've had with individuals. Now, what you're going to be doing with this, and is that you're going to take what you've learned here. It's going to be extended back into a new level of depth into your regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find that in your quote-unquote regular life, you'll be able to manifest far more magic, far more love, far more exploration of joy and celebration and sharing and all sorts of wonderful adventures and opportunities. Because the self that you have created in the virtual world will now be applied to the self image that you have in your quote-unquote real world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's basically you're expanding who you perceive yourself to be. Your self-image is expanding, and therefore your reality will expand. So as long as you maintain a certain awareness of these two worlds you're playing in.
Mm-hmm. Two different sets.
Two different sets, yes, two different worlds. Mm-hmm. And you play in these two different worlds, you are getting to become more and more in both.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the object here. So you're asking, is this me feeling the love? Yes. Okay. Do I really feel something for these people, that these virtual people that are, you know, these are characters, what they create too, yes?
Yes, they've created. The communication is what's real.
The communication is real. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, have I expanded my aura to, in a way, include them and touch them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're touching you too.
Right. So it's an exchange of light. It's an exchange of
absolutely
energy.
Absolutely.
No time, no space.
That's right.
And is that something that I can learn to discern the edges of, the different aspects of? I have some of the same doubt stuff that goes on, like, am I making this up or am I really sensing this?
Well, think about it this way. The image that you put out there
as
your virtual self, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the whole you, but it's a piece of you you present.
Mm-hmm.
How is it any different from the mask that you present in your quote-unquote regular life?
Absolutely.
It's there's no difference except that in the virtual life, you get to refine it. You get to play with creating a much more, in a sense, idealized self.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, what is this doing to your self-image in general?
In a funny way, it's almost like I am, it is very much like I am using that as a future image
mm-hmm.
that I can connect to in a more solid way because it's visual right in front of me. Which is very fun.
You're cloning and claiming.
That's right.
A brighter piece of yourself.
Yes, a brighter piece.
And you're really owning it.
Right.
Whereas before it was, you was like, okay, it's out there in the future.
Yeah, and amorphous.
And now you're bringing it into you now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So it's a wonderful, empowering experience. The only disadvantage will be after a certain point, you will feel a need for kinesthetic bonding. Kinesthetic.
I'm routine. Already feeling that.
All right.
I'm already feeling that. And that's slightly frustrating
because mm-hmm.
these people are all over the world.
That's right. And so what that's going to enable you to do is to be able to turn the computer off and go out into the world and touch people.
Right.
And okay. feel people and get into it and roll up your sleeves and get involved in your physical plain illusion
okay.
in a from a much higher and much more vibrant place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit more playful because of the playfulness that I experience in that virtual world can be extended back into this one where I feel safe there, I can feel safe here too.
Right, and if you will claim that safety,
yeah.
you know, the more greater that you allow yourself to be, the brighter that you allow yourself to be, right,
mm-hmm.
the safer you allow yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be working with that in the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right, specifically to get you connected and linked up to your safety so that you can negotiate the uncertainty that's going on the planet now and the twists and the weaves and the so forth that go into coming out of the chaos.
So that sensation that I feel physically in my heart, is that connected personally to these people? Is that a part of recognizing their divinity? That's the greater
piece of you mm-hmm. that you project out there that you're identifying with,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
to the greater them that okay. they are putting out there that mm-hmm. they identify with. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like your spirit soul sees their spirit soul.
Okay.
It's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you get to that place to where you need the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that will give you a leverage. It's like giving you a launch into the physical.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Terrific.
That's very, very exciting. All right. Another question?
Let's go to Jane.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
It's Jane. I've been. I like that the theme is interesting, but it's again.
Oh, sorry.
The theme is very interesting to me. I'm excited when I heard you say about exploring the brightness this weekend. And I've been experiencing a lot of transformation in my life. And actually, I remember the last time we spoke in a reading, when I was going to start bitching about, you know, the same old stuff, not being able to create a goddamn job I like and blah, blah, blah. And you said to me, but no, you created this because you know, you're going through this transformation, and it was, like, really good, and I'm there. Are we talking about the same reality, you know? And then 1 week later is when it broke through for me, the week after, and total shift. So nothing physically has changed, but my reality is shifting big time and transforming
big time. Congratulations.
And it's really great. I mean, it's like I feel really happy, and, you know, it's just good. I mean, there's much that's good. And I'm aware also of transforming and changing and what's moving out and up and out. And a lot of it I don't know and it's unknown. But what I wanted to ask you about, and I got the clue of, is a really interesting dream this morning when I woke. And I'm not sure if it's related to downloads. I imagine you'll be talking about that. It sure felt like it. And I was in this house, and I always love those houses, upstairs, downstairs, and things. But I was upstairs, and I was with some people, and they said, I was going to head downstairs. And they go, oh, don't go downstairs. There's a bear down there. And they're, oh, cool. I love bears. It's my spirit animal. So I started to go downstairs. And then there was, geez, there's a bear. And, oh, look, that's a mother bear. There's another bear. And then there was a couple of dogs and then a couple of crocodiles. And they weren't alligators. They were crocodiles. So it was fascinating to me, like all this animal stuff that was down there. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, just so I was working it through and thinking a lot of spiritual stuff and dogs. I think about Sirius and crocodiles. I'm pretty connected to Egypt, and there's stuff around that. And
mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if I was going to just talk about it or mellow out. And then I turned, and Kirby over here has a drum, and I see, you know, Horus and a hawk looking at me. I said, okay, I think this is my question. So do you have any clues? I mean, is there something I can work with here? And my first thought was, like, okay, downstairs maybe the darkness, like, what do I have, something I have to work with and release. And but then I'm thinking it's maybe power or juicy stuff, and I'm
yeah, it is juicy
not
stuff,
sure,
right? Yeah. Because you see, in the darkness, generally, in the darkness, and this is for most people, you're trained to think the darkness is a bad place and that there's all sorts of evil stuff, like the person who said, don't go down there, there's a bear down there. Okay, that person didn't say, there's a bear down right there, isn't this great? No, they said, there's a bear down there, it's scary. Right?
Yeah.
That was a consensus speaking to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Through your own dream mind, okay? And the thing is, you said, well, look at your response. Yeah. Well, wait a minute, a bear is my power animal.
Yeah.
And you felt safe.
Yeah, interesting.
You felt safe to descend into the darkness.
Interesting.
And therefore, as you descend into the darkness safe, which means that you're owning your power, then you can retrieve the gifts that are in the depths of you.
Hmm.
All right? There are gifts there. The gifts of the crocodiles, the gifts of the dogs, the gifts of the bear.
Hmm.
There are gifts there. Your own personal spiritual powers, strengths, gifts, they're there.
Hmm.
Okay? So look out. You know, you have a strong connection with Egypt. What is the quality that comes to your life that you can extract from this connection with Egypt?
Yeah, I'm one of the things that I'm aware of, the color, you know, color, sound. There's a certain amount of beauty there that's there.
Mm-hmm. And how does that translate into an inner knowing or inner strength or what quality, let's say, would it translate to into your life?
I don't know. I just keep thinking light and magic, but
right,
I,
with a tremendous quality, amount, you know, of ancient wisdom.
I was like, you were going to say ancient anxiety.
Okay, if you take anxiety on one side of a polarity, on what's on the other, okay.
Wisdom
would work.
I
yeah
like that.
Right.
Ancient wisdom, excellent.
Okay, and then you've got the dogs, right?
Yeah.
Sirius?
Yeah.
All right. What do you associate with Sirius? What do you bring through into your being from Sirius?
These are good questions.
And even from dogs that are in your neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel that dogs do? What are dogs? What's dogs' power?
Love and joy, I feel.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Love and joy, mm-hmm. protection,
mm-hmm.
The guidance,
mm-hmm.
And which are serious for me. I just keep thinking of the destiny and the shining ones and what we're connecting, and that the connection is there and the choice is being made there. And
have you ever had a really bonded relationship with a dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what happens when you have a bonded relationship with that dog? You know, and you become the alpha dog generally.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the dog. The dog, you can stare the dog down really easily. But what comes back to you from the dog?
Loyalty and love.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Real dedicated focus.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Interesting.
And focus on what? On you.
On me, yeah.
You're on who you are,
yeah.
All right? So you bring that through, really, being aware of who you are and your power. Yeah, you're the alpha dog, you know, aware of your power. And it comes from a beautiful mystical place with ancients. You know, it's not that you just came into your power in the past, you know, 10, 20 years. No.
Right.
You have a long background, a long history of it.
Right. And that's what I'm, it's bubbling and remembering. And the remembering of that is really beautiful. I mean, the whole thread, you know. From.
And then why is a bear your power animal? What's the message of the bear?
Bears, to me, I love to hibernate in the winter. But bear, it's interesting. I've been hanging out with that. And at Yosemite, I actually was face-to-face with, well, across a road, but they're very big, so it was a big face. I was face-to-face with this bear. And it's like they're just big. I mean, there's just this bigness, and again, this, and I keep sensing like a protectiveness. It's like what
Well, let's look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a human being and a bear have an encounter, right?
Well, the bear wins, yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And then look at this. The bear gets to sleep in the winter.
Yes, I love that.
And then when the bear gets up in the spring, it goes over, says, well, I'm hungry. It goes over to the stream and goes,
yeah.
Picks up a fish, okay, and it goes and hangs around, and it lies around. You've seen pictures of bears lying around, scratching their backs against trees.
Yeah.
They're the lord of their domain, and they are easy. They're easygoing, laid back. But if they see somebody coming in there who's putting strange, bizarre energies at them, they can just stand up and go, rah!
Right.
Right. And that just go.
Right. That's great.
You know, they're just, hear me roar, you know, yeah. Even if it's not a lion, it's a bear, but they really can get into it, you know. But it's easy power. Let's put it that way.
Easy power. Interesting.
Easy power.
Interesting.
It's lazy, easy power, you know.
I like that.
It's effortless power. Because it's just natural and intrinsic, because it's big.
Yeah.
You know? Well, how's your energy field? Is it big?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Excellent.
Right. So pull these up into yourself and claim these, because you've got good presence. If you'll acknowledge it, it becomes even more radiant.
Excellent.
It has more impact.
Excellent.
All right? And you can, when you speak, you make a bigger difference, which you have ever since the shift.
Mm.
You're listened to more now, if you'll accept it.
Mm. That's true. And it's easy.
It's so much easier. Effortless
it's just
power.
It's really easy. And there's just been a lot of love, and the feedback is gorgeous and unsolicited to me. You know, positive stuff about me that's unsolicited. And it's
See, now
really
you got
helpful.
Your energy moving now.
Mm-hmm.
You busted the log jam.
Uh-huh.
Which was your resistance.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
doesn't have the perfect form and the perfect appearance and the perfect
yeah.
this?
I
must not
thing.
Have created the right reality for myself. I must not be a good reality creator, bad me.
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Right. Next time I'm coming back as Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, it's like skinny little thing, you know. And it's true, I'm accepting myself.
Well, we also want to point out that Michelle Pfeiffer had a nasty divorce case and lost all her money.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She had to start over again.
Yeah.
So
no, forget
you
that.
Don't want to, you don't want to claim that. Too much cancel, of cancel. Anybody else, no. Right?
That was then.
There's baggage that comes with that, you know.
Yeah, but that's true. That's interesting that you say mm-hmm. that, and it is. It's more and more just even accepting and looking at that.
And accepting your mm-hmm. see the bigness is mm-hmm. you see in a way sometimes you put on weight to be big. So that you have easy power.
I'm interested.
At the same time, you're invisible.
Right. Right.
Now, sometimes you do that. You know, that's just one of the mechanisms of right. overweightness.
Right.
But when you accept the easy power part mm-hmm. and you feel safe, maybe you don't need that weight anymore. Huh. All right. If your aura is big, and you feel safe, and you can express yourself and feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying can be heard.
Wow.
See, maybe, you know, the purpose of that has been served.
Oh, excellent. Interesting. See, right. The pieces are really coming together.
That's right. You know. That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we want to point out also with overweight is, and physical basis, is a lot of acid. Mm-hmm. In your system, as far as your pH is concerned. Yeah. You know, there's alkaline and then there's acid. And the acid has to do with a lot of rage and powerless rage.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, very often what happens, the person who is overweight will tend to buffer it with fat cells.
Yeah.
The fat cells will surround the acid. If you are eating something that's too acid as far as a food is concerned, if you eat something that's fatty, it'll balance it out, mm-hmm. you see.
Yeah.
And some of their favorite foods are fatties, fats and acids together, right? And we're not talking about fatty acids. That's another thing. But the thing that we're saying here, though, is this, is that as you get, in a sense, safer and own your power, and own your majesty and own your bigness of your light, you no longer have the powerless rage stuck in there. Mm-hmm. It can start coming out.
Nice.
Okay. And as it comes out, you will feel the acid of it. Now, skinny people can stash acid too. They generally do it through inflammation in the joints.
Yeah.
That's one of their favorite places for slender people, right? Everybody can put their acid somewhere. But one of the things we want to point out is that just on a physical level is that you will notice that you may be inclined to eat foods that are what are called more alkaline-forming foods, that they will feel better for you, like raw foods.
Okay.
And they might just feel better for you.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so very much.
Oh, yeah. How exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, somebody's over here.
Kirby.
All right.
Alexis, it's Kirby.
All right. Hello.
Two recent experiences I'm trying to understand because they were pivotal. And about a week and a half ago, I woke up in the middle of the night with a lot of anxiety. And I couldn't get back to sleep. I sort of was starting to have nightmares. And then I just sort of said, okay, I'm just going to go back to sleep. And I went back to sleep. And I had just incredible torture and war nightmares from the past, from the future, from other dimensions, all kinds of things like that. And I have this kind of shamanic practice I've done over many years, which involves going into myself very deeply, and at the level I do it at, lots of traumas and stuff come up, and I've learned how to just be with myself, you know, in those circumstances, and as really the only technique to get through it, just to be there, and so I practice that with this particular dream, and as I felt just being assaulted by all this violence and rage and stuff, it passed. It just simply passed. And I can't I didn't really process anything. I didn't really figure out anything. I just was just stayed there with myself and it passed. And since then, I felt like something really opened up. I had a lot of fear around the economy, and look, you know, and the more I look at reading about, you know, the banks and the financial systems and things like that being just totally bottomed out, the more fear I was getting into. And now I read that stuff, and it's, I think it's just kind of interesting to analyze and to, you know, I mean it's serious, but it's not affecting me like it did. It's not creating this dread experience for me. And then the other thing was a few days ago where I was my ex-partner Randall called me in, and he has finished inventing this new system of lighting, and I experienced it. And basically, briefly, what it is, it's a two-dimensional picture of a very sophisticated eight-dimensional object. It's like a mandala, but it's really full of colors and fractal patterns and things like this. And you look at this thing, and you using biofeedback to drive the lighting effects that are projected onto this object. And I had probably the closest thing to a, you know, like an acid type of experience without, you know, as an external thing with this thing. And one of the things that happened was I noticed that I'm in this dream state, and realities are just popping. They're just popping right in front of me. And what's happening is I'm observing the reality, and it's beginning to take on depth and breadth, time, dimension, a history, information. It's beginning to take form. But all of that is happening after this pop of existence, you know? And
that was happening in the dream, or you were observing it in your daily life?
This was happening during the meditation process. With this two-dimensional object of this eight-dimensional thing. You know, it's hard to explain what it is, but... And the other thing that was happening in that meditation was I was flipping into these dimensional planes. I was watching and flipping back and forth to these in these different planes. It's hard to really explain it, but I'm trying to understand in terms of what we're talking about in terms of energy. It almost seems like the energy moves, or the energy does something, and then afterwards there's a story, there's a form, there's a, you know.
Of course, yes, that's always like, the order of it.
It's like I think of it backwards, like you think mm-hmm. of the bear and or the dragon or whatever, and then you work with that energy. Whereas this energy is happening, and then something's happening to give it form for me afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, I'm just trying to understand some of these things.
All right.
Better.
Well, in the dream, the first one that you did, that you went into the scary, evil darkness.
Yes.
Of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You went into the collective. That's the nightmares of war, of the past and the future. It's a collective. You tuned into the collective. You were tuning into all the bad news on Wall Street and everywhere, mm-hmm. right? And you were sensing what's going on the whole planet, this craziness, the chaos, the darkness that's going on. And in a sense, you experienced it through that form of darkness in your dream. But when you stayed in your power, in other words, you identified and recognized yourself, and you held your presence there and looked at it dispassionately without a lot of judgment and stuff. You didn't let yourself go into the fear. You didn't buy into it. You just watched it and observed it. You created a frequency distinction between yourself and it. And it dissolved because you are more than the consensus. You are more than the collective. And you, and in a way, you got that right in the middle of this experience, right in the middle of the night there. Okay. And it has to dissolve away because it's not consistent and congruent with your frequency. You basically did a kind of a similar thing to what we were doing earlier, where you take the dark stuff and you breathe it through and on. That's basically what you did. You didn't perceive how you were moving it through you, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stick to you. You let go of the piece that was sticking to it. And that piece of you that was sticking to it prior, that was going through all the panic and the anxiety, was the you that was identifying with the powerless people out there in the world, being swayed and buffeted by scarcity and threats and homelessness and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and the terrors of the future. Because there's a lot of fear of the future out there, just tremendous fear of the future. A lot of people are trying to numb out desperately, right? Mm-hmm. And you just went and felt all their anxiety. You just connected with it. You basically did a healing for the collective. Mm-hmm. You did a consensus healing because you held an energy. You held a point of power. And that's why it will dissolve off of you, and because it's not part of your choice in life. And what's wonderful is that subsequently it was followed by this other experience, and where you were able to spontaneously access the dimensions of creativity, where you began to create and form and shape and put together multidimensionally a new reality. Mm-hmm. Now, if that isn't a traditional process, we don't know what is, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you let go of the past. Mm-hmm. You choose something new in the future and replace it. Yeah?
Yeah,
it's a kind of basic kind of process. And you did that in two phenomenal experiences. Note the intensity of both of them. Mm-hmm. See how much more intense they were? Mm-hmm. How much more profound and powerful as an impact than what you normally experience?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, one of the things that was going on there, this is for all of you who basically are taking the weekend workshop. We've been doing we did a download on you. We did some work on you. And all of you have experienced a connection with your soul. That seems to be what was standing right there. It's like every one of you and your soul came and touched you. And that intensifies everything. The soul will intensify your experience so that you will get it in a deep level or a grand level, or have that sense of profundity that comes with that. And that's part of, and indeed that is connected, to the work that we did, but not necessarily just to that. You are already ready for it anyway. But you're going to get into more of this in a very conscious and deliberate manner through the weekend. You're right. You know, you're really starting to experience what we're going to be working with. So it's really quite exciting. We're going to expect some great things of you this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have time for one more, you think? Yeah. Let's have one more.
Hello, Glexus.
Hello.
Finally. I'm so grateful for your influence in my life.
You're certainly welcome.
And you've answered so many questions already. and that clearing was very helpful, too, that we did tonight, although I still feel this heaviness in my heart. I've been told that my ex-partner and I were in many, many lifetimes, and most of them I was killed or, you know, treated so badly that I died. And it was sort of like that this time, too. And I'm wondering why, if that's true, and why would you repeat something with somebody that's, like, offed you two or three times, if that's true? Why is there such a magnetic attraction? Is it like a cigarette is just a bad habit? I mean, why, you know, I don't feel like a...
All right, yes. Well, we would like to point out what we said earlier, is that everything that you experience in your life, everything that you get and that you receive, is a feedback, is a reflection. It brings to you information. It's part of your exploration it's part of your spiritual journey of recognizing who you are, right? Now, there's, when you get something like this, this is like what we referred to earlier as the commission of challenge. This is your favorite place to do your spiritual growth. Okay, this is like, okay, I need a big boost of spiritual growth, so I'm going to do some another kick-ass relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to just kind of suggest that you just throw out all this supposed history of other lifetimes. Just ignore that. And just come to what you've experienced here in this lifetime. Now, this is intense enough. You don't need to add all the baggage from this on that and the other, because you don't even know if it's a real lifetimes or if they're just imprints from the consensus, right? Or the collective has imprints, and people get imprints to kind of give them an idea of how to build their patterns in more exquisite detail. All right. So some people will do that, and a psychic will say, well, this is other lifetimes, and yes, sometimes. But the point is, it's not necessarily who it was that you had this relationship with, but how you responded to it, how you worked with the energies of it, how you received it, what you had to do in order to receive a relationship that already was not quite whole. And if you'll look back, that when you entered into this partnership, that the you that entered into the partnership was not really aware of who you were, mm-hmm. or who you are now, mm-hmm. right? That self was more a self that was looking to fulfill some kind of fantasy of what, you know, success and joy and love and celebration and whatever it was. Right? So, there's three ways. We're going to get into this a bit more in the weekend, but there's three ways that you respond to your commission of challenge when it occurs. And this is an occurrence, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? There are three levels. The first level is to feel devastated, to feel powerless, to feel torn apart, wretched, just shredded, in pain, in agony. All right? Once you kind of work with building your sense of power and recognizing that there's a part of you that was actually not in the fantasy, but a part of you that really did see some of what was coming, really did see the pieces that were not authentic, that were not consistent, where the flow was getting snagged up, places that you ignored, that only got worse. When you're in your power self, you'll be able to sense those or see those or remember those. You know what we're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you get into your power self and you start working with that and saying, you know, here I was identifying with another self who would rather it be a fantasy than a reality. You're aware of that, right? That there's a part of you that had this fantasy, I'm going to have this perfect partnership. And the partnership should look like this. So here comes a person in, and he looks just like, the delineation. Oh, here's the lineup of all the features that this perfect partner is supposed to have. Oh, look how many he's got. Oh, gosh, this must be it. So the fantasy self goes, all right, I'll take over from here. We'll fulfill the fantasy. Finally. Finally we'll get it. Mm-hmm. Well, finally we get that. We'll scratch that itch that's been there for decades. Okay, we'll finally get it. All right. And you gave your power away mm-hmm. to this self. Mm-hmm. You can give your power away to a part of yourself. Generally, this part of yourself is a younger you. A child version of you, or an adolescent version of you, or that like we talked about the 20-something, the early 21, that is visioning what the perfect adult life should be before they actually have a chance to live it. And so what we would suggest for you is that to move out, you just responded at level one. Now, in the past, you've responded at level one. before, haven't you? Mm-hmm. You felt this, you've been torn apart before. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't this person, it was someone else, yes? Mm-hmm. And so the pattern is far more important than the person, right? Mm-hmm. So get your power together, forgive yourself, don't judge yourself about it, mm-hmm. get rid of all of that, and then find that part of yourself that was buying into the fantasy. And that's the part that's really devastated. They put their all into it. Mm-hmm. You stood on the side, actually. The light you stood on the side and watched. Because what your identification was this other you. You stepped into her and lived through her vicariously. Okay? So what you want to do is to give her her perfect life in meditation. Mm-hmm. So that she gets healed. Then she's not going to keep nagging you. Hey, when are we going to get that fantasy fulfilled? Hey, when are we going to get that? When are we going to scratch that itch? We gotta go start over again. We gotta somehow or another, you gotta get yourself back to a place. We gotta try again, and we gotta try and get that. We'll get the perfect one next time. You want to heal her, right? Okay. Level one. Level two. The pattern shows up again. You are pissed. Damn it, there it is again. I thought I did everything I needed to do with it. And see, part of it was level two, yes? Part of your response?
Yeah.
It's all this, there it is again. Why? Am I so stupid? I'm not getting it. What is it? And sometimes you can take it quite personally. Hey, universe. Hey, God. What are you doing? How dare you do this again to me? Yeah? After all I've been doing, I should have gotten at least something better. Or maybe angry at the person. Him again. Oh, dear. Will I ever learn? When will I be done with this? Grumble, grumble, stomp, stomp, stomp. You know? Huff, puff. Okay, level two. Okay. Now, the way out of level two, again, take your power. Stand in there and say, okay, I'm going to let go. I'm going to just clear myself of all the judgments about myself and get all my anger out. And I'll do visualizations and I'll put him in front of me in my mind, and I'll just blow him up and tell him off and blow him up and chop him into pieces and throw him around or whatever and stomp on him and whatever, cut him into pieces with a lightsaber or whatever I want to do. Put some TNT under his ass, you know.
Done all of that.
Until it's all gone. It's all gone. And I feel like I've finally got an impact. I finally have been heard in a way. Even if it's in my meditations. I finally made some difference here. All right. Okay. Now I feel back. I feel strong now again. And then you forgive. You forgive him. You forgive yourself. You take all the judgments off. You don't go around and kick yourself about it. No punishment whatsoever. Love yourself a whole bunch. Okay. It will dissolve. The pattern will disappear with the forgiveness. You don't do forgiveness at level one. You do it at level two. Level three, it shows up again. Now, most people think, okay, I've done level two. I've done the healing. I've done the forgiving. It won't show up anymore. But it shows up again. You'll catch it sooner, so maybe it won't. See, it won't be devastating. That's level one. You won't be absolutely furious that you missed. Oh, what did I miss this time? What's left to process now? You won't be furious, level two. What you'll do is you'll look at it and say, I dealt with that. Look at me. I am creating this again. Is this a hoot or what? In a sense, you don't take it personally. You're not pissed off. You're in your power. All of a sudden you're saying, oh, looky, looky, look at what's happening. Interesting. You see? When you start to laugh about it, boy, I know how to create these realities, don't I? Isn't this just the most amazing thing? That kick-ass school of growth just keeps going on, doesn't it? And you don't go into judgment. You don't go looking around vainly, what piece did I miss? What little piece, and going and super analyzing anything. You don't do that. That's level two. Level three, you laugh about it. You say, I'm done with it. I'm not going to accept this kind of energy. Mm-hmm. If I need to forgive myself, okay, fine. Really quick, like so. I'm heading on. I have a new vision. I'm going to, you know, clear the slate. I'm going to have a really good time. And in a sense, continue life as a celebration. Level three. It may show up again. Just to confirm. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're at level three? Okay. Mm-hmm. You are at level three? Oh, okay. Sometimes your subconscious, the one who maintains your consistency, is not very clear about it. Okay, we'll have to bring it up again. But, of course, you catch it earlier mm-hmm. before it has the opportunity to get so deep that you get so embroiled in it and so swamped with it that you could be devastated. Because that's level one. You don't go there again. Mm-hmm. But you can go back to level two. So if you respond at level three, one, two, tops, three times, then you won't have to have it again. The subconscious gets it. Oh, okay. She's really serious about it. That she's not going to go back and do her old dance and stuff. She's got it. Okay. So, all right, well, shift now. It's time to shift. It's time to change. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like a PhD in the school of kick-ass?
That's kind of like graduating.
Okay, good.
Graduating. And it's a mastery of the course called your favorite, challenge, your commission of challenge. Because then what happens, it becomes a theme. Instead of, let's say, that your commission of challenge is in love relationships. Then your theme is learning how to love, give and receive with others, love with others. It's a theme. It's like a thread of interest that you carry. But it's no longer your burden. It's no longer your challenge. You see, in that sense. If there's a challenge, if there's a challenge to hone it and to make your love more sparkling and to be able to receive more, you see?
Yeah.
And so you get, once you get past level three, and I get to level three, then everything starts to shift and unravel, all right? But you have to get to level three. Grad school is that honing. You hone it so that it gets more and more and more and more, because, you know, graduating from kick-ass school of growth is just the beginning of a marvelous adventure, right?
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear one. And, of course, if you look at it in terms of energy, how much resistance does level one have? It's in total resistance, because any kind of denial and any kind of fantasy is a total resistance. Okay, you're blocking the flow so that you don't see anything that you don't want to see. Right? Level two, look at it through energy eyes. All the anger, damn it, anger is like throwing energy around. Anger is like you feel like you hit the wall and you're going to explode against it and kick it and fight it. That's resistance. Okay. Level three, you laugh with it. Moves through you. That's why we taught that technique about moving anything through you. You see?
Yeah, I felt that. Thank you.
Good, good. Excellent. All right.